This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham is here, founder, CEO of MBSLive.net, and he is here with a market update. Matt, good to have you here. Happy New Year, friend.
Happy New Year, Dave. How are you doing?
So good to hear your voice.
So let's talk about last week real quick. It was understandably pretty low key as far as the bond market is concerned, or was concerned in this case, because it was a 3.5-day week. There were not very many big fish to fry, and there are bigger fish to fry in the upcoming week, the one that we're in right now. So it was pretty calm. There was some risk at first. Sunday night, Trump signed the spending stimulus bill, and that was something that was always going to be a little bit of a stumbling block for the bond market because it involves more treasury issuance, and thus just a little bit of a upward implication on bond supply. Higher supply, lower prices, higher yields, all other things being equal. There was also some risk that Congress would take up this additional stimulus paycheck thing up to 2,000 from the 600, and that would have definitely had an impact on bonds. But we found out pretty soon into the week that that was probably a non-starter. And so the bond market really set about just grinding to a halt for 2020. That wasn't necessarily a given early in the week. You can always see some additional volatility at the end of the year, even at the end of the month, as traders shuffle positions on a somewhat compulsory basis for certain traders based on changes in certain indices that they have to match their holdings to, and other positions that have to be closed or squared by the end of the year. But in this case, for December in 2021, we had apparently found the right range, the warm bowl of porridge already, and the 10-year yields just kept moving sideways in this 0.9 to 0.96 range. And yeah, that was it. Really not much impact from anything throughout the week. The treasury auctions early in the week, and especially the two on Monday due to the shortened week, those actually did produce a little bit of a bounce in bonds. So traders were probably defensively positioned for those, which is not uncommon, and rallied a little bit in bonds after that second auction on Monday. And then the rest of the week's data had no impact on bonds. The interesting piece of data for the housing market would have to be the Case-Shiller index coming 7.9%. That is the highest since 2014, and that those 2014 peaks sort of captured the big rebound from the meltdown. So super strong home price growth. Pending home sales told a similar story, 25.7. So that was a little bit lower than the previous month. But if you take 125.7 and go back into the past, you have to go all the way to 2005 to find anything higher than that. And even then, you know, that was peak housing bubble, and the levels back then weren't really much higher at all. So really still very strong housing market data, still very low interest rates, mortgage rates continuing to outperform treasuries. And let's talk about the week ahead.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that last week could have been so calm is that bigger fish to fry that we have this week. But I'm going to make you wait for that for a second. There is a ton more data coming out this week. I'm going to burn through it real quick for those that need to know. And then we'll get to this, you know, the big to do. So Monday's a slow starter. We just have construction spending. It's already out. It was roughly in line with forecast. Tomorrow, we have ISM manufacturing. Forecast is coming a little bit lower than last time, but still expansionary at 56.6. Wednesday, with us as always, MBA apps in the morning. ADP, private payrolls from ADP, it's coming in at 88,000 versus 307. So they're seeing a pretty big drop. Factory orders at 10 a.m. Nobody cares. Thursday, jobless claims 800K versus 787 previously. Trade deficit that same time, 8:30 a.m. Then ISM non-manufacturing forecast come in at 55 versus 58 previously. So similar contraction versus the previous month's numbers as seen for the manufacturing numbers on Tuesday. Then Friday, the big jobs report coming in also quite a bit lower than previously at 100,000 versus 245 last time. But the unemployment rate is seen staying the same at 6.7. So here's the big deal for Wednesday. And I think a lot of the country, even apart from the financial markets, are focused on Wednesday. And I don't know a thing about politics or when we're going to start to understand the results, but it's all about that Georgia Senate election. I don't think anybody is drawing firm conclusions based on those. But if it is possible, and if it does happen, that Democrats win both of those Senate seats, then it gives them full control in the Senate and thus full control in lawmaking, and has everything to do with one party having control of Congress and the presidency, and that making it easier to spend money and thus affect interest rates. And just as a reminder, spending money doesn't always look like spending. In 2016, the same thing happened. It was the biggest bond sell-off we've had in years, and that didn't look like spending money, but the tax bill was actually another form of spending because it created a revenue shortfall that we had to use Treasury issuance to offset. So that was the cause of a huge, huge sell-off in 2016. And then one could argue that the positive economic impacts from lower taxes also drove rates higher. But the biggest reason for it was that the revenue impact from the tax bill. So bottom line, this could be the week where momentum finally returns to the bond market after being largely absent since, I would say, the presidential election. So not a good time to be complacent, good time to be on your toes, pay attention, use your favorite monitoring services like MBSLive.net, and use your LOL code at sign-in for a 3 month.
No credit card required, but you should get one in there. You know Dr. Michael Frantoni, and he says, oh, I use it. And he says, you've had a number of the MBA folks. Talk about that. I mean, that's encouraging to see that the MBA is on your site and present. Even Bob Brooksmith is making comments on the live section at times. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. We're honored to have them. Sort of like the scientist studying the caveman, as it were. But we're a window into the front lines.
Well, you do have a good window, and I encourage people to check it out. It's, again, the one place you have to go. What CNBC is talking about, they seem to cover a lot of the stuff. What's Diana Orlick saying? And so you go on there, and you can catch it all. It's just really great. So appreciate it. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Next week, we will have Dan Putney of Finastra joining us, talking about the survey. It's really interesting data. We talked about it when we had Steve Hoke on a while back. We had seen some insights into that survey, and it's really interesting. We're going to be sharing some of that data with you next week. We'll want to check that out. So thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as the MBA, as well as Indicom, Accelerate, Mobility, RE, Modex. We could go on and on. Check out all of our sponsors on our website. Good to have you with us, everybody. Have a great week and a happy new year. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.